Web streaming of 90.3 WPLN-FM is made possible by listener support and by Vanderbilt University Medical Center, the promise of discovery. Learn how you can support this service at NashvillePublicRadio.org.
Welcome to this week's edition of Says You, Public Radio's Game with Words, where classical answers answer questions about the classics.
Is it Shakespeare?
It is not. It's always a good bailout, right?
It's always,
there.
Yeah, it's always
it is,
yes.
It's
go
a
to
good
Shakespeare.
Go-to.
Go to Shakespeare.
And just when you think we've exploited the bard enough, we use him as an example. An example, agitates ale, is Shakespeare.
Oh.
You are familiar with this show. This week, as always, new meanings, new definitions. Words you never thought you needed until now.
Give your love a schlenker.
I think it's...
Maybe focus group testing explains why it didn't catch on.
More explanations when Says You returns.
From NPR News in Washington, I'm Giles Snyder. President Obama and Republican rival Mitt Romney jockeying for a position this weekend. Romney is focusing on the military, specifically on spending cuts that could hit the military if President Obama and congressional Republicans can't reach a new budget deal. As NPR's Jim Howard reports, Romney is critical of both sides.
Mitt Romney says House Republicans, including running mate Paul Ryan, were wrong to agree with automatic cuts to end last year's debt ceiling standoff. If Congress and the White House don't work out their differences, deep cuts will take place in January as part of the so-called sequestration. Romney is this week's only guest on NBC's Meet the Press.
The president was responsible for coming out with specific changes that he'd make to the defense budget. It was supposed to have come out this last week. He has violated the law that he, in fact, signed. The American people need to understand how it is that our defense is going to be so badly cut.
Romney told pro-military crowds in Virginia yesterday that he wants to strengthen and expand the U.S. military. Jim Howard, NPR News, in Washington.
Also in that NBC interview, Romney said he would keep several parts of President Obama's health care overhaul, including allowing young adults to stay on their parents' insurance longer and the provision dealing with pre-existing conditions. Romney has centered much of his campaign on the economy, but President Obama says it's the GOP's economic policies that won't be successful.
We have been there. We have tried that. It didn't work. It didn't work then. It won't work now. We're not going back. We are moving forward. That's why I'm running for a second term as President of the United States.
The president speaking at Simi, Florida. He'll continue his bus tour of the state today and work Medicare into his remarks. He's expected to highlight a new study from a Democratic-leaning group. There's been a series of attacks across Iraq today. At least 34 people reported dead and scores injured. NPR's Ghassan Adnan reports that the oil-rich city of Kirkuk in northern Iraq was a main target.
The insurgents targeted security forces, local markets, and diplomatic buildings. The bloodiest attack took place 30 miles north of Baghdad when gunmen attacked a military base with a car bomb, killing and injuring many soldiers. In Nasiriyah province, 185 miles south of Baghdad, a car bomb was detonated close to the French consular building, injuring civilians nearby. Critics have called upon politicians and security officials to act quickly to stop the bloodshed in Iraq before it gets out of control. Ghassan Adnan, NPR News, Baghdad.
It looks like Bermuda will avoid the worst of Tropical Storm Leslie. Forecasters say the storm will likely slip by the island as it heads towards the northern Atlantic.
It's been sitting over cold water as it hasn't moved a whole lot, and that's brought a lot of the colder waters from the deeper parts of the ocean up to the surface, and that's kind of been keeping its intensity down. But now that it's moving north, it'll be moving over warmer waters, and we think that'll help it to strengthen.
Robbie Berg tracking Leslie at the National Hurricane Center in Miami. This is NPR News. Temperatures in the east a lot cooler today thanks to those severe storms that passed through the region this weekend. The storms toppled trees and power lines and damaged buildings. Two tornadoes spun through parts of New York City yesterday. No serious injuries have been reported, but power is still out for thousands of customers in the Washington, D.C. area. The severe weather in the New York area suspended play at the U.S. Open tennis tournament, but not before Andy Murray made it through to the men's final.
I haven't actually played great tennis so far. So I've just, you know, in some of the matches, just found a way to get through and, to be in the final and get a chance to play for a Grand Slam is great.
Murray is still waiting to find out who his opponent will be. Defending champion Novak Djokovic and David Ferrer are due to pick up where they left off yesterday, their match suspended because of rain. It's the first Sunday of the new NFL season. NPR's Tom Goldman reports 13 games are on the schedule as the country's most popular sport shifts into high gear.
Across the nation, NFL players are taping up for their opening games. Fantasy players are charging up devices they'll use to track the flood of statistics about to be unleashed. And the media are ramping up the storylines expected to define at least the early part of the season. Will the New Orleans Saints, angry about the Bountygate scandal punishments, use a collective chip on the shoulder to make a deep run into the playoffs? Will longtime Indianapolis star quarterback Peyton Manning, now wearing Denver orange, be as good a Bronco as he was a Colt? Will replacement officials working for the locked-out regulars taint the most professional of sports with amateur performances? More answers beginning today. Tom Goldman, NPR News.
And I'm Giles Snyder. This is NPR News from Washington.
Support for NPR comes from the Skoll Foundation, supporting social entrepreneurs and their innovations to solve the world's most pressing problems at skoll.org.
Welcome to Says You, a game of bluff and bluster, words and whimsy.
Support for Says You in San Francisco comes from the Intercontinental Hotels, the Intercontinental Mark Hopkins, and the Intercontinental San Francisco, our home away from home on the Bay and on the web at intercontinentalsanfrancisco.com.
Now, join our panelists and your host, Richard Scherr.
Thank you. From the Canbar Theater at the Friends Center for the Arts in San Francisco, California, welcome to Says You, a simple game with words played by two teams, the first of which sits stereo right. In the game of Says You, her philosophy is to play on a Freud, and she usually gets high marks. Francine Akbar. His Says You philosophy is to try and think Jung, and then you can't go wrong. Barry Nolan. And he's always been a skillful philosophical Says User, though lately he's felt that craft ebbing. Mr. Tony Khan. Who will lead us into battle?
Id.
Ed.
Barry will lead us. To my left, team two, she plays this game with mathematical precision, though she often goes off on a tangent. Paula Lyons. Hey. He plays this game by the numbers, playing the angles, looking for the signs. Arnie Reisman. And whenever she uses her circuitous logic, we think she's as cute as pie. Miss Carolyn Faye Fox. Who's the leader this week?
Miss Tangent.
Ms. Lyons will lead.
Yeah. The Lyons will lead. Correct answers are worth 10 points, or whatever fraction thereof deemed appropriate. We always advise new listeners to grab a pen and paper. Let's begin with a round of definitions and derivations. For 5 points, define, and for an additional 5, try to define the origins of the following common words and phrases. Carolyn, cat got your tongue?
Cat got your tongue? Why aren't you speaking? The derivative, if a cat has your tongue, it really smarts.
Closer
because
than
cat
you know,
has
actually.
Curving claws, and it's cat just it's not something you want to have happen.
Why is it a cat?
Well, that's true, but it doesn't happen to be the derivation.
It's not the derivation. Cat got your... Is it Shakespeare?
It is not. Uh-huh. It's always a good bailout right
it's always,
there.
Yeah, it always is, usually.
Go to Shakespeare.
Go to Shakespeare. Is it tennis, as in cat got your tongue?
won't dignify that with an answer. No, I won't let that go.
All right.
There are two possible derivations here. We'll give you credit for either one.
What is it really about the animal, or is it some kind of mispronunciation?
One is not.
Well, I mean, really, what do cats do that have anything to do with getting your tongue mangled or whatever?
They're very happy dealing with their own tongue.
Well, they actually do have something to do with your tongue getting mangled, and I'll give you an extra point for that and go to the other side. Any thoughts?
May I put forth a theory?
Yes.
Does it have anything to do with birds?
It does not.
There you go.
Anything
about pawing? Just the animals pawing, the reaching for the tongue or reaching
for something? No. Anyone want to take a guess in the audience?
Well, we already established
it would
that
be,
part.
But yeah. No. Well, we're all going to learn something. It of course means why are you not talking? Have you nothing to say? Came into popular use in the 1800s. Some posit that it relates to the cat of nine tails.
Oh, that cat! Oh,
the maritime punishment with which we're familiar, in which victims would be rendered incapable of speech or insolence after a little administration.
A whip.
But others insist, get this, that it comes from the rumored traditional Middle Eastern practice of removing the tongues of liars and feeding them to cats.
Whoa.
I thought that would be a good way to open the show.
Yeah.
So that'll be good dinner time conversation.
Yeah,
you?
I'm sure it would.
Yeah.
Okay.
Try this one, Tony. Definition
and derivation.
Yeah, we
You get 6 points.
6 points.
For that. 6 points. Try this one, Tony. Definition and derivation of pomp and circumstance.
Huh. Well, pomp and circumstance is not necessarily overdoing your behavior or the way you present something, because actually certain circumstances do require a lot of pomp.
Yeah.
Pomp and circumstance, well, there is a musical composition called Pomp and Circumstance.
There is, in fact.
Mm-hmm. And would it be because that was the guy they always went to, and he knew he had a good gig whenever a king died or was born?
Well, that was Elgar's Pomp and Circumstance. Certainly.
Does the pomp in this have any relationship to the processions of Pompeii?
Oh, no. That's
How about the use of pompons?
No.
No.
I'm assuming it predates Elgar, doesn't it?
It does. You got to go back right to the basics.
A coronation.
Shakespeare.
Shakespeare.
There
is exactly right. Shakespeare.
Pomp
and all else fails.
Pomp and circumstance were his attorneys.
Is this from Julius Caesar?
No, from Othello.
Oh.
It's from Othello, the line being all quality, pride, pomp, and circumstance of glorious war. Try this one, Arnie. Definition and derivation of double whammy.
Double whammy.
Yeah.
Well, that's like really getting knocked for a loop.
That's exactly right. It's two problems in one.
Yeah. So
where's the whammy come from?
Where would this have come from?
Is this like some like magician terms or something?
It is not a magician term, but I gave this to you for a reason. This is something you would know, actually.
This is something I would know.
Oh.
Baseball? That's what I was thinking.
No.
Mad Magazine.
No, but you're closing in on it.
I'm closing in on it. Cracked Magazine.
No.
Comic books.
Comic books.
Pogo.
The noises, the pow, the kapow, the wham, the bang.
Well, you know, you're real close. It's
okay.
Not that. It's not it, exactly comic books. It's
cartoon.
Bubblegum.
Is it Batman?
Bubblegum.
No.
No?
The words of a cartoon character, actually.
It's
a particular
cartoon
Wascally Wabbit. Is it the Wascally Wabbit? And does he do the whammy?
No, it's not. I'm going to give you again 6 points.
Are we back to Captain Marvel or something?
No, we're not. We're not there. Anybody want to take a guess over here?
Is it the Roadrunner?
Is it Popeye?
Is it bam, bam,
no.
And the thing keeps.
Anybody in the audience want to take a shot?
Cass and Jammin' Kids.
What? Evil Eye Flegel.
Evil Eye Flegel.
From the first row.
Oh, my God.
Evil Eye Flegel.
Excellent job. That is just right,
Flegel.
Very impressive.
Very
from
good.
From the cartoon strip Little Abner
Little Abner.
Al Capp, the zoot-suited Evil Eye Flegel could cast a spell on someone by aiming at them with his finger and one eye open. He called it shooting a whammy, and you could shoot a double whammy if you had both eyes
yeah.
open. But that's where that comes from. Very good. This audience is going to show us all up here. Try this one, Francine. Definition and derivation of get your ducks in a row.
To put things in order.
Yes.
and it is at the carnival.
Those well,
ducks are floating along, and you're supposed to try and shoot them.
You're going to get some points for that, because some people think it comes from there, but not really. Not from. We went back a little further than that.
Well,
it's obviously,
the ancient
we're
ancient
in the duck,
Roman
we're in the
gallery.
Duck blind. We're in the duck blind.
Yes.
And your dog is going along, and he's going to flush the ducks out, and the ducks are going to start to fly into a row, and you're going to shoot them.
Well, you know what? I'm going to give you 10 points. You're close enough.
You're in the supermarket shopping for a duck. They're lined up. Where are we going here?
Well, it is to get yourself organized before you make your presentation or your argument.
Yeah.
Some say it's from the arcade shooting galleries, as you said. Some say it's from duck pens, from lining up the duck pens, but that's kind of refuted.
Derivative.
Yeah. And the truth is that no one is completely sure, although it seems to come simply from the mother duck's need to organize her ducklings in a row.
As in make way for ducklings.
Right, as you come out.
Oh,
so, radio audience, your input is especially appreciated on this. We got three derivations, and Francine gave us two of them, so that's good enough. Try this one, Paula. Level best.
Level best.
Well, doing your level best, I've always found a very confusing term, because it seems to mean your real best, but well, I don't know why level is in there, but level best. And I always thought it might have come from baking, where level off a spoon to get an accurate tablespoon or something like that, but I'm not sure at all.
That's a wonderful thought.
You
get 5 points for the definition.
Is it carpentry?
No. Oh, that's what I thought when I first heard it. It is not.
Is it Shakespeare?
When in doubt.
Should be, but it isn't. No.
From
isn't.
Level the third, it's,
This is,
Do your level best.
Think 1850 America.
1850 America.
Oh, we're now talking about proportioning the country and,
No, think about 1850 America right here, right in
1850. In addition to the founding of San Francisco.
Gold is exactly right now.
Gold. Okay.
Panning for gold.
So, panning for gold right, is exactly right. 10 points. You get
Thank
that.
You.
It is It is your very best effort, and probably from the metaphor of panning for gold in 19th century America, when for the best results, the pan was kept as level as possible in order to see the fragments of gold as they separated. So that's where it comes from. And finally, I don't know that you'll get this, Barry, but I loved finding this one out. To kill with kindness.
Oh, this is Shakespeare.
It is not, actually.
It's Marlowe.
Oh, no. It's way before that.
Okay. To kill with kindness is to defeat someone by being, for all appearances' sake, very nice to them.
Yes, that's correct. That's 5 points.
And it would come then from the Greeks.
It does.
And it would be something from the house of Atreus or Medea.
It is not.
Yeah, from the dinettes part. Is
right. The fact that he got from the Greeks has got him 7 points so far.
Homer?
No.
So to kill with kindness would be the woman who, in the fall of the House of Atreus, they served up the family. And then there's another one.
Yeah. And neither one of them are correct.
Who killed her children.
Yeah, I don't think anyone's going to get... Anyone on the other side have any thoughts?
Anyone
in the audience?
I don't know if you...
Trojan horse? It's not... Oh, Trojan horse. Good thought.
Not Homer, though.
No?
No.
It is from it's from the story of how Draco, or Draco, I think it's Draco met his
draconian.
Death.
Draco, who gave us the word draconian.
Yes.
Yeah. The lawmaker.
The lawmaker who, making a presentation in a theater, was supposedly smothered and suffocated by the caps and cloaks thrown onto him in appreciation from the audience.
Yeah, they said it was appreciation.
Yes, it was a showing of appreciation of him. 590 B.C., they killed him with kindness.
Lovely.
Yeah. Oh, we got a new. What do you know?
Yeah, lovely.
We live for that.
Orchestrated by his brother, Drano.
Probably. That was a great round of definitions and derivations. We learned a little something. Thanks for playing that. And let's go on to round two, which is played with a little musical help from our friends, the Real Vocal String Quartet. It is the first of the Says You Bluffing rounds. Paula, each of you will receive a card defining a word. Only one has the actual definition. The other two have blank cards. Those poor souls have a few seconds to make up a definition on the spot, good enough to fool Barry's team. 10 points are up for grabs to Barry if he can sniff out the bluffers, or to you, Paula, if he can't. A few seconds to come up with a definition for the word Schlenter.
You Schlenter, you.
S-C-H-L-E-N-T-E-R. Schlenter. Ladies? Begins in Nashville, rolls through Hartford and Milwaukee, careens through Syracuse, and finally comes to rest in Boston. It's our fall caravan of cajolery, live performances of Says You. It begins the first weekend in September in Nashville, Tennessee. In October, there are stops in Hartford, Connecticut, and Milwaukee, Wisconsin. In November, we're on the campus of Syracuse University for some salty language, a Says You salute to the Salt City. Then in Boston, the weekend of December 29th, we close the year with the performance we call In the Great Mayan Bai. Because we figure if the world's going to end, we're going out laughing. Tickets, information, and details are available at saysyou.net. That's S-A-Y-S-Y-O-U. Where if you simply follow that Join the Fun link, we'll show you how to join the fun. Says You returns after this from home. Says You coming to our town? Where can I find old shows? Who played that music I heard last week? So many questions, all answered on our website at saysyou.net. There you can find tickets to tapings, Dally on the Daily Dispatch, or access our complete archive. You can contribute a question to the show and absorb ridicule on a national scale. This and more at saysyou.net. That's S-A-Y-S-Y-O-U.
Yeah.
the Real Vocal String Quartet. Help us thank Irene Sazer on the violin, Kate Stenberg on the violin, Dina Maccabee on the viola, and Jessica Ivry on the cello. Thank you so much, guys. Let's take a minute and thank our scorekeepers. That's Michelle Dudley and Max Carlisle. Thanks very much, you guys, for keeping the score. We have had a few moments with the word schlenter. We will go first to Carolyn Faye Fox.
Schlenter, we've all had one. A schlenter is an uninspiring boss, as in mentor schlenter. No, the real definition. Schlenter is an imitation diamond. It sparkles.
It sparkles. Love it.
An imitation diamond is a schlenter.
Yes.
Didn't get the real thing. You got stuck with a schlenter.
Stuck with a schlenter.
Okay. That could be it. Or Arnie, something else.
Well, it sounds like it's a perfect word for the JCC, actually. It's someone you'd like to kill with kindness. It's someone almost on the level of a mooch. It's a person who is always borrowing items and never returns them.
Oh, neither a borrower nor a schlenter be.
That's it.
God.
A borrower who just doesn't give it back. That's all
just,
there is.
He just keeps it.
Yeah.
Steve Schlenter.
Yes. Steve Schlenter. Someone who borrows, doesn't give it back. Or Paula, a third alternative.
Well, a schlenter actually is a fearless or intrepid explorer of faraway lands. That's a schlenter.
Not a schlepper?
No, not a schlepper. A schlepper sometimes is not so intrepid.
That's true.
A fearless, intrepid explorer of foreign lands.
Yes.
Stanley and Livingston were a pair of schlenters.
Pair of schlenters.
Could be it.
Right. I have a full house, which I think beats a pair of schlenters.
I don't know that. I'm not sure. So a schlenter is either a fearless explorer of foreign lands, a borrower who just doesn't give it back, or an imitation diamond. It is one of those three, and the choice, Barry, is yours.
Boy.
Yeah.
Well, it does sound, it does have the sound. If it's not a person who's always borrowing and doesn't give it back, it should be.
I want to clarify, Arnie was trying to bamboozle us by making us think schnorrer.
Oh!
Yes.
Okay.
A schnorrer is a person who's always kind of asking you for stuff.
Okay.
Okay, so I think it's not that.
All right, so then we have an imitation diamond or a fearless explorer. I can't, a fearless explorer doesn't sound,
schlenter doesn't
sound bold enough.
Give your love a schlenter?
I think it's... you know,
what is it, a
schlenter is forever?
Yeah, a schlenter is...
Actually, a schlenter is for a couple of weeks.
Right.
A diamond is for...
I think
maybe focus group testing explains why it didn't catch on.
Yeah, right.
I think it is the you know what a spelunker is?
Yes, it's a cave explorer.
Right. So I think Schlenter is a similar kind of Germanic exploratory idea. That's my guess.
I'll buy that.
I find the diamond a little hard to imagine personally.
Well, Tony talked me out the diamond right away.
Well, except for the fact that the diamond trade is largely in New York City. Managed by the Hasidic population,
mm-hmm.
So that might be one of their little terms for, hey, you know, get this guy a schlenter. He's not going to know.
You two arm wrestle, and I'll support the winner.
Give him an extra pair of schlenters.
Yeah, right. Some schlenter cufflinks.
I'm sorry, right. I can't be of any help, Barry. I really feel awful.
I think Francine, you sound like you make a lot of sense, Tony, but Francine... presented it better, so I'll go. I'd like to go with fearless explorer.
Paula, they are going to say that a schlenter is a fearless, intrepid explorer of foreign lands. Is that in fact what a schlenter is?
A schlenter, please bluff. No.
It is not that.
No.
Okay, audience, it's your turn. What do you think? How many say the diamond? How many say the borrower? Oh, I think the diamond is carrying the day, Carolyn. Is in fact a Schlenter forever?
A Schlenter sparkles. It's an imitation diamond.
That's what it is. 10 points. The ball is changed.
I stand bamboozled.
Let's go on to round three, a round of cryptic authors. From the following ridiculous puns, clues, and references, please tell me the famous author I have in mind. An example, agitates ale is Shakespeare. You are familiar with this show. I'm curious.
That's a good one.
Did like that hiss, though, at the end. Thank you for that. I appreciate that hiss. All right, let's try this one, Carolyn.
All right.
Author brought to mind by the clue, pulmonary grant recipient.
Pulmonary grant recipient. Heart?
No.
Crane? Pulmonary lungs.
Pulmonary grant recipient.
Lung fellow.
Lung fellow.
Is a lung fellow, yes. A lung fellow.
Very good.
Did you see the look on her face just at the moment of...
A lung fellow.
A lung fellow.
Right.
I love it.
Harold Splinter.
It's a lung fellow. Tony, try this one. Author brought to mind by Ash's offspring, perhaps. And that's spelled A-S-H-E, apostrophe S. Ash's offspring, perhaps.
Dostoevsky.
No. I tried Dostoevsky about 300 times. I just...
So Ash would be like Victor Ash, the tennis player?
No, Arthur Ash.
Arthur Ash? Yeah.
Arthur Conan Doyle.
Victor was the bad tennis player.
Yeah. Victor,
and what was the second half of the clue?
Ash's offspring, perhaps. Oops, I just...
Now, see, Alfred, we got Alfred Lord Tennyson, Alfred...
No, go with Arthur.
Alfred Lord Tennyson.
Tennyson.
Oh, Tennyson.
Is right.
Tennyson.
Oh, Tennyson.
Oh. Very good.
Huh? I got that?
Ash's offspring is Tennyson. Yes, that's what that is. Try this one, Arnie. Famous author brought to mind by the clue... Wait on relatives.
W-A-I-T?
Yes, wait on relatives.
Wait on relatives. Serve. Is serve getting me anywhere?
Service.
Serve kin.
Nope.
No.
No.
Serve family.
Oh, cousins. I got it.
I'm sorry?
Serve. Cousins.
Serve. No.
Cousins, family.
Mother, brother.
Yeah. Of course.
Brother.
Brothers.
We've got it.
Uncle.
Uncle.
Serve. Sir.
Can't believe they've hit every other relative, but the...
Uncle, aunt,
aunt? Aunt.
We got it. All right, aunt.
Aunt. Lawrence. D-H...
I don't believe it. No, you're not... The other side, of course, is...
Of course has. It.
Obnoxiously aunt. Has
oh,
the answer.
Jumping right. Up and down.
And this time
aunt
we're right.
Aunt and aunt.
Aunt.
I'm going to give them... I'm going to give him 5 points just...
Cervantes.
Cervantes, finally.
Cervantes. Oh, good.
Excellent.
Boy, lost
saved
a couple
by
of,
the bell.
Lost a couple of pounds on that, didn't
I
you?
I did indeed.
Cervantes. Yes, Cervantes.
Not so much a program as a diet.
Yeah. And now they get nasty.
Oh. Now they get nasty.
Francine.
No.
Yes. The author brought to mind by the clue, answer to, that tobacco private?
That tobacco private?
Is that, in other words, that tobacco private? Answer to, yes. No, this sir.
This is Francine's question, of course.
That tobacco private?
That tobacco private?
Is that, this is
oh,
the
wait,
answer
wait, wait.
To
private
that question.
Sometimes go, sir, dump, sir, right? Sir, something, sir.
Oh, does the other side... Don't say it out loud.
No.
The other side
am I, are we on the right track with this?
Well, somewhat. Yeah, you got
no,
part
sir,
of it.
No, sir. Sir. Sir.
So it's an author's name that that ends with sir.
Yes. Okay. Sir.
Monsir.
I don't think they're going to get it. I go to the other side. You have any help?
No.
I go to the audience for...
Chaucer.
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 Aren't you clever? clever.
Whoa.
Chaucer.
You know, for an audience that was booing before, you really got into that one, didn't you? Chaucer, yes. Is that tobacco private? Chaucer. That's,
uh-huh.
I told you they'd get nasty. If you think that was bad, wait till you hear this one. Paula, author brought to mind by a simple but electrifying ditty, perhaps.
A simple but electrifying ditty, perhaps. I love it when you do that. Perhaps.
Well, that's crossword puzzle stuff, you know. Simple but electrifying ditty.
Tune, melody.
Tune. Jingle.
No.
Yeah, Frank Jingle.
Frank Jingle.
Single electrifying ditty.
You're working on it. Let's go with the simple ditty, if you could.
See simple ditty. A tune.
Make something. A simple ditty.
It's a tune.
Melody. It's a melody.
I'll give you a little hint here. I always think of Scotland when I hear this word.
Oh, Scotland.
It's Scotland.
Okay, then.
Okay.
Yes, is that tough? Glad. Does the other side have any thoughts on this?
Lay?
No? What's the simple Scottish tune, audience?
An air
is correct.
Oh, boy.
But it's an electrifying air.
Oh, yeah.
Voltaire.
Voltaire.
Yes.
Is exactly
of
right.
Of course.
Well, we Voltaire.
May I suggest that the dark is here and put the light over
there? Yeah, that's, they both, give him 3 points for that, and I'm not even sure why.
No, I'm not either.
3 points is certainly plenty for that effort, and... We go to Barry. Barry, see if you can cap it off. The author brought to mind by the clue, the crest where all the jails are.
The crest?
The crest where all the jails are.
The jails are. So the crest is like a ridge. Is
that's
some,
ex- that's
ridge?
Peak?
Coleridge.
Yeah,
Coleridge. Coleridge is exactly right.
Yeah.
You get the clue? Is
The crest is the ridge, and where the jails are is coal.
Yeah, and where?
No.
No, the. I could take points away. It's been done.
They're all in the cooler. Barry.
Cooler.
Crest
where all the jails are is, of course, Cooler Ridge. Yes, that's what that is. Coleridge is right, and that's the round of cryptic authors.
Thank you.
Over.
Glad it's over.
At last. Let us dart quickly on to round four, which is Barry's team's chance to have a little fun at Webster's expense. One of you will correctly define the following word. Two will bluff. 10 points. Paula, if your team can find the rose amid thorns. A few seconds to come up with a definition for the word suck it.
Oh, good.
S-U-C-K-E-T. Suck it.
S-U-C-K-E-T.
Ladies.
Okie doke.
You can hear Says You Again for free on any of the stations that stream our show. Just follow the High Definitions radio stations link on our website, find a convenient time, and listen again and again. For copies of this show or any other in our history, you can find downloads at saysyou.net. Just follow that show downloads link and find high quality copies available. Briefly, Says You pauses, just long enough for a few interstitial announcements. We'll be right back. thanks to KQED FM in San Francisco and to the Jewish Community Center of San Francisco. Programs and events like ours all year long on the web at jcccsf.org. Just a quick reminder, Says You stops in Hartford, Connecticut, Friday, October 12th, for one night only at the University of Hartford. And November 16th and 17th, we return to Syracuse, New York, for a little upstate wordplay. Add that to our September shows in Nashville, Tennessee, our October foray to Milwaukee, and our end-of-the-year special in Boston, and you have this year's fall schedule for Says You. Information's available at SaysYou.net, and we hope to see you this fall at a live performance of Says You. The Real Vocal String Quartet. You can find out more about any of the groups that play on our show simply by going to our website. Go to the Frequently Asked Questions page. Find out who played that music I heard last week. Thank you very much, ladies. That was lovely. And you've given us a little time with the word suck it. We will go first to an over-anxious Tony Khan.
Suck it, an unsuccessful Heimlich maneuver. Thought I'd bring it back for all time's sake.
Never, can't hear it enough.
Suck it is a mud flap for a carriage. Sort of like for ceremonial occasions, you know, say the royalty is being conveyed someplace, they'd say, okay, guys, plug the horses and suck at the carriage. We're taking the queen.
Suck at the carriage.
Keep the mud guards.
Mud guard.
Mud flap. Mud flap for a carriage is a suck it. Could be. Or it could be something else. Francine, what say you?
It is something else.
Oh, okay.
And it's something quite obvious. Yet another word of Scottish derivation.
Of course.
A suck it is a pacifier for a baby.
A pacifier.
That's pretty obvious, yes.
Something that has become known in the American parlance as a binky.
A pacifier for a baby is a suck it.
Suck it.
Could be that. You laugh. Could be that. Or something else. Barry?
This is the truth.
Okay.
It's always the truth.
Before there were sporks, there were suck its.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh.
As in suck it wrench?
Yeah. Taking your food apart. Yes. Yeah. A suck it is actually, it's an implement with, instead of the spoon and fork combined ineffectively, the spoon is on one end and the fork is on the other. It would lead to the old saying, if you come to a suck it in the road, just turn around. Didn't seem like good advice,
no,
thus the spork.
Didn't, okay.
Could you repeat the definition?
Yes, the
predates the spork.
I think they got it.
It's a thing with a fork on one end, the spoon on the other. So
you got a spoon on one end and a fork on the other. You'll never be caught short when you got to suck it. Okay, that's possible.
Yes, right. I believe that was their marketing point.
Yeah,
yes.
Sure.
Right. I think we should bring the suck it back.
Yeah. Well, it's either the spoon, fork, utensil, the pacifier for the baby. And remember that mud flap way back when? It's one of those three, and the choice, Paula, is yours.
Well, I'm inclined to that little tool there. I'd kind of like to have one of those.
Based on all of them, Barry was having foon with the sucket, I think.
The early prototype of the spork.
Imagine, there was an early prototype.
And nobody wrote a limerick.
Right.
That's what we're guessing.
Right. There once was a man with a sucket.
And he lived once on that.
There was a young man from Spork.
Yeah. Spork. Yeah.
So what are you thinking about the pacifier and the mud flap?
No.
I think they should be merged. You know,
a mudsucker.
Hey, kid, try this.
Okay.
Let's do,
we're voting for Barry.
We're going to
go
with the spork. Let's go with that spork.
Well, it didn't take them a whole lot of time, Barry. They pretty much came to the conclusion that it's the combination spoon and fork. Is that, in fact, what a sucket is?
Where did I go wrong? Yes, indeed. It's a table implement.
10 points.
Spoon it one in.
For Paula's 10. We'd be remiss if we didn't stop and take a moment to thank some of the folks who made this past season memorable. To Chris Dobbs at the Noah Webster House and St. Joseph College for letting us open in Hartford. To Neil Feinberg and the good people of Lincoln, Massachusetts. To Jeff Hansen, Arvin Hawkinson, and all the folks at KUOW for bringing us to the best audience in the business in Seattle, Washington. And special thanks to Leela and Jake in Port Townsend for introducing us to Port Townsend. To Dale Spear and the excellent folks at WFAE for giving us that warm Charlotte reception on that cold January weekend. And to Mary Olson at KCLU in Thousand Oaks and Lillian Vasquez at KVCR in San Bernardino. Thanks for making the winter so much shorter. And finally, to Lenora Naxon at the JCC in San Francisco, and Robin Smith and Joanne Wallace at KQED, I want to take a moment to personally thank you for taking Yosemite off my bucket list. We haven't done it in a long time. We've had lots of requests, so let's try a challenging round of melded movies. Let me see if I got anything else here. I'll give you the plot lines of some famous movies. Your challenge is to combine the titles of those movies into a new melded title. An example, a maniacal scientist faced with nuclear war decides to put on a Shakespearean comedy in Tibet. Dr. Strange Love's Labor, Lost Horizon. Yes.
Okay, oh, all three.
All three?
I see three movies.
Oh, my God.
Could be three.
So could be, or it's not.
It
I
is.
Haven't seen three movies this year.
Yeah. All right, let's give it a try. Carolyn.
Okay. All right.
A mysterious criminal in post-war Vienna tilts at windmills and then wins a ticket to an amazing candy factory.
Oh.
Okay, Willy Wonka.
It's Third Man of La Mancha, or where are we going here? Say it again.
Yeah.
Oh, La Mancha, La Moncharlie's Chocolate Factory.
Almost. No, no, try it.
La Mancha.
The third?
Charlie's Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
The Third Man of La Moncharlie and the Chocolate Factory.
10 points. That's exactly right. The Third Man of La Moncharlie and the Chocolate Factory. Right. Yes, that's
I'd
what
like
that
a
is.
Retail place.
No, I'm surprised nobody ever makes these movies after we come up with
them.
Yeah,
I
know.
This is, isn't it a great... Think of this as a pitch. Think of it as a Hollywood pitch.
Yeah.
I got a show for you.
Oh, yeah. You're it's going, a pitch.
Here's the pitch you're giving him, Tony.
How about Lassie Come Homeward Angel Baby?
Boy, I wish I would have thought of that. I'm going to give points for that. Try this one. An underdog Cuban fisherman meets an underdog horse who meets an underdog banker.
Old man of war.
Old man of
and the
sea.
What's the other
man? Man old man of the sea horse.
Old man of the sea horse.
Nope.
Old man of the
sea biscuit. Old man of the sea biscuit.
Right. And what was the last one?
Meets an underdog banker.
An underdog banker.
Seabiscate.
Well, I think Arnie is pretty confident in his knowledge.
Yes. Old man of the Seabiscate banker.
Banker. Oh, that's the Jimmy Stewart movie.
It's a Wonderful Life.
It's a Wonderful Life.
So the
Seabiscate's a Wonderful Life.
There you go. 10 points. Nice job. The Old Man and the Sea Biscuits, A Wonderful Life. Yes, that's the melded title. You know, the audience sounds a bit frightened, don't you think? They really have a...
When you can get the it off of biscuit.
All right, try this one, Arnie. A rural sheriff cleans up the humorous world of NASCAR and then drives Formula One in Europe and falls in love with a dying girl.
Okay.
With a what girl?
Okay.
Dying girl.
Dying
We're
girl?
A love story.
A rural sheriff cleans up the humorous world of NASCAR and then drives Formula One in Europe and falls in love with a dying girl.
Walking Tall?
Walking Tall.
All right. Walking Tall.
Keep going. Rural sheriff.
Now it's NASCAR.
Walking. The humorous
Talladega Nights.
Walking Talladega Nights. And
the legend of Bobby somebody.
Well, they're legend. Getting there.
The legend of... Oh, yeah.
Bobby Joe. Billy Ball.
Does it end in... Breedlove or something?
No,
the legend of...
I don't think they're going to get it. Anybody over on this side?
We got some of it.
Yeah, you got some of it. I'll give you 5 points.
Was that the movie with Anne Hathaway, the recent movie?
No, that's not it. Anyone in the audience know? No? Tough one. Let's try it out. Walking Talladega Nights, the ballad of Ricky Bobby Deerfield.
Oh,
Ricky Bobby Deerfield.
Oh,
that's
Bobby.
Where it goes.
Yeah.
Now I know the audience is frightened. Yes, I...
Ricky Bobby.
You frightened me.
Yes.
I'm frightened.
All right, try this one, Francine.
Oh,
melded movie, here's the pitch. A trial about evolution becomes a contest between a big man in the Sahara and another in the White House, and then ends with a struggle for succession in Henry II's dysfunctional family.
Oh, yeah. Got it.
Okay.
Should have read this one first.
Inherit the
wind.
Inherit
the wind. Lawrence
of Arabia.
No.
Inherit the wind.
This was about Teddy Roosevelt.
The wind and the lion?
Yeah.
Yes.
Inherit the wind and the lion. Richard O'Toole, Peter O'Toole.
Right.
Lion in winter.
Right.
There
lion
you go.
Lion in winter.
For as bad as it was, you got it. Inherit the wind and the lion in winter is what that is. Let's try the last two, Paula. Melded title, here's the pitch. A cattle baron and his adopted son fall out, while a detective who gets dizzy and obsessed saves Fort Knox from a mad criminal.
Oh, yeah. A cattle baron?
One more time. A cattle baron and his son.
And his adopted son fall out, while a detective who gets dizzy and obsessed saves Fort Knox from a mad criminal. Heard that one in the audience.
Fort Knox from a mad criminal.
What's it with the cattle baron and the sun falling? That's not Giant, is it? No.
No.
That's
from.
What's that movie, Arnie?
It's not East of Eden.
It's something River.
Yes.
It's
Red River.
Red River. Is that
Red River?
Red River.
Okay.
Vertigo. Vertigo. Red River. Vertigo. Go. What's the Fort Knox movie?
Fort Knox.
Well, I thought that would be the easy one.
Go. That's the easy one, huh?
Go.
This might require having been to a movie in recent years.
No, it doesn't.
No.
Oh. Okay.
You've got Red River Vertigo.
Go. What's the movie?
I'm going to have the audience in a minute sing the answer.
Gold. Goldfinger.
Goldfinger. That's right.
Oh.
Yes. Red Verdict Goldfinger, yes. And finally, let's put an end to this one.
Okay. Oh, yeah, Flex.
Yes. We'll be going out the back door tonight, boy. Try this one, Barry. Seagoing rebel broadcasters reminisce about the golden age of radio on their last day of school in a small Texas town.
Of the golden days.
Seagoing rebel broadcasters reminisce about the golden age of radio on their last day of school in a small Texas town.
What was
town.
The Woody Allen?
So the that's American
radio
graffiti.
Days, right?
No, it is not.
Last days of school. Last day of school.
No, that was in California. That was where was that actually?
What?
Where was it set? I'm sorry.
American graffiti.
Modesto. Modesto. Yeah, that was in Modesto.
What was? Okay. Seagoing Rebels.
Seagoing Rebel Broadcasters.
Something. Pirate Radio Days. Pirate Radio Days.
Oh, they got a lot of it.
And what's the last?
On their last day of school in a small
Texas. Dazed and Confused.
Which means?
Pirate Radio Dazed and Confused.
There you go. 10 points. A great finish, but it wasn't, and a great score, actually. 73 points, but it wasn't enough today. 90 points for today's winners, Paula Lyons team. Congratulations. That is all we have time for this week. Thanks so much to Lenore Naxon, Geese Graphics, and all the folks here at the Jewish Community Center of San Francisco. Also to Joanne Wallace, Robin Smith, and everybody at KQED-FM for their long friendship. Sure. Sharon Salkind are the writers. Antonio Oliart mans the meter. Zach Moore is the associate producer and webmaster. We close this week with the thought that you know you're from San Francisco if your child's third grade teacher is named Breeze, or if your friends haven't heard from you in years and then they call up and say, do you have a spare bedroom for the weekend? That's what we've heard anyway. Thanks, San Francisco. We'll see you next week. Says You in San Francisco comes from the Intercontinental Hotels, the Intercontinental Mark Hopkins, and the Intercontinental San Francisco, our home away from home on the Bay and on the web at intercontinentalsanfrancisco.com. Benjamin, give him the skinny.
Says You, created and produced by Tiffany Finch. Busted.
This week on Radiolab.
Mommy, look, a baby gorilla.
We go to the zoo.
Little eyelashes, little ears.
And we take a good long look.
Rows of cages.
The animals were bored.
Psychologically deranged.
You know, they would bang on the glass.
They're wild animals. They still have those wild instincts.
Have you ever heard a tiger yowl?
Sunday nights at 8 o'clock.
Celebrating 50 years of community service and community support, this is 90.3 WPLN Nashville Public Radio, 91.5 WTML Tullahoma, and 91.7 WHRS Cookeville. You can find a complete schedule of all our programs and listen to a live stream of any of our program channels at WPLN.org. It's 10 o'clock.